Welcome everybody to Till Death Do We Play, a podcast where marriage and video games are the perfect union. My name is Andy, and as always, I'm joined by my wife, Allie.
Hello.
Allie, Valhalla is upon us. New.
Tis.
The video game, Assassin's Creed, it's out, and we've been playing it.
Well, with how 2020 has been going so far, I would not be surprised if a massive wolf just came, killed Odin, and all of a sudden, Ragnarok began.
Is that how Odin died?
Well, it's how he will die.
Oh, okay. All right, well,
in the future.
That hasn't happened yet?
Correct.
So Odin's...
Unless COVID counts as the beginning of Ragnarok. I mean, I don't know. I just know he's supposed to get killed by a wolf.
COVID, we are in a spike right now. Odin might have contracted COVID.
Oh, no.
No, but... yeah. New Assassin's Creed is out. We've been playing it all week. We figured we could do first impressions of it. We haven't done many of these. We did one for Last of Us and one for Ghost of Tsushima, but now we're getting into AAA game season. And we all have time to play games, so we're going to be talking about it. I'm very excited. Other stuff happened this week, like the new generation of consoles. It launched, but we weren't fortunate enough to get any of those, so we have nothing to talk about on that yet. But luckily, we do have new awesome games, so...
Fortunately, all the new Xbox games are still compatible with Xbox One X.
Yeah. I don't need that special Series X to play Assassin's Creed. I just got to deal with a couple more seconds load times, which, won't kill me.
Yeah.
So let's jump into it. Valhalla. I probably put about 10 hours into it so far. I am enjoying it so much more than Odyssey, which... It's rare for, like, this new type of Assassin's Creed game for me to enjoy. I mean, I liked Origins, which was, like, the complete overhaul of the new system and everything. But it didn't, I was such a fan of the old type of Assassin's Creed, even though a lot of people felt like it got stale. I loved the combat. I loved everything about it. And I felt like they were kind of losing me with this new... system that they have, but Valhalla, I don't know if it's the setting or I really don't know what else it could be, because the combat is fairly unchanged. We'll get to that in a little bit, but yeah, I'm having a blast with it. It's not without its faults, though. I will make sure to talk about that a little later. But yeah, how are you enjoying it so far?
I'm really liking it. I played a bit more of Odyssey than you did, but the main thing that I did not like about Odyssey was just how hard it was to level up. Like, they made it almost impossible to level up the later you got without literally having to drop money, which I absolutely refused to do. Mm-hmm. But I think I might have said before how I spent like an entire morning just trying to get up one level so I would be at the recommended level or close enough to it to continue on the main story. And then as soon as that was done, like, I had most of the side missions that I had stumbled across completed. And then as soon as I finished that one portion of the main story, it was like, awesome! Now the next recommended level is 5 levels higher from the previous one. Yeah. And I just said, no, yeah. I absolutely refuse. I'm done.
So they kind of got rid of that in Valhalla. It doesn't seem like there's any levels. There's just power.
Which is kind of similar.
Yeah. But it's like way faster. I think it's like, I mean, obviously you level up when you do things, you get XP. And every single time you level up, you get 2 skill points to spend on this huge skill tree with like 3 branching paths to start with. And then they branch out further and further. But yeah, just for the small amount of time that I've played so far, I think my power is like 34 or 35, and I'm seeing things in my general area that are like recommended power 90, but there's still, I haven't hit any kind of roadblocks with things that I can't do yet. I remember in Odyssey where it was like recommended level, it would be 20 or something and you're only like level 10. You're like, well, I can't even touch that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really enjoying that. Speaking of what I mentioned was the skill tree. And maybe you could recall in Odyssey if it was similar to this. I just really like it because you, like I said, you basically start out with three branches that you could go for. One's like ranged, one's stealth, and one's like melee with different perks and things. But after you get to a specific point in one of those branches, it just branches off into something else that, you know, has new skills and abilities and things like that. And it creates this huge web, and it's just really, really neat. You can make a super unique character, and you do have that ability to basically like erase everything. So if you want to try different builds, you could just get all of your points back and just put it into something else. You know, I think that's a really, really cool feature.
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit more freedom in that regard. I think Odyssey and Origins were a little too equipment heavy, where it was pretty much when you level up, I think most of what it affected was just, oh, here's some more abilities, compared to Valhalla now, where you still can get new items, but they're not dropped nearly as often, I'm finding, and I'm happy for it. Yeah. Because one of the first weapons you get in the game is your father's axe, and I really don't have any intention of, like, switching away from that now for too long. I mean, I've been testing out other weapons, but there's just, like, some satisfaction of just going through people with this axe that has a personal meaning to, you know, your character, Ivor.
Yeah. So yeah, I still have that axe. That's my go-to if I'm doing like a single-handed weapon, but I've switched over to the two-handed like battle axe just because it seems like it hits so much harder. So I've been leveling up both of those back and forth. That's kind of what I put my resources into. Speaking of which, that's a new feature that they added in this game is, I mentioned single-handed and two-handed. You basically have control over both of your hands, which is something that I haven't tried with like two melee weapons. Basically, you could like, if you want to have an axe in your right hand, you could put a shield in your left, and it makes shielding and parrying a lot easier. But if you have a two-handed blade or a battle axe or something, you could still try to block. It's just not going to be as effective.
For me, when I had a two-handed sword, I couldn't block at all.
Oh, maybe it's just swords, because I know I'm able to hold the battle axe over my head and kind of like stop. It seems like I can't parry at all. Like when I used a shield, I was able to parry everything and like do the stun attack and stuff, and it seems like it's a lot rarer when you don't have the shield. So maybe
it's a charge attack.
Yeah, what you mentioned before about how things are kind of fewer and far between, basically, like, from what I've seen so far, like, raiding is a huge part of this game because you're a Viking, and a lot of cool things, there's a lot of awesome things in this game that are possible because I think the fact that you're a Viking, I'll mention that in a second, but yeah, like, when you come across new gear or new weapons, most of the time it's going to be in a town that you raided, and you have to like find a key to a specific like cell or something like that and find loot. So you're not kind of like stumbling upon new weapons every few minutes, you know. You actually have to really work for them. And a lot of the times I've found that just like the armor that I find is what I switch to. Yeah, I still have like my, you know, weapons that I started fairly early on in the game, like we just mentioned. What I just mentioned about being a Viking, you play as Eivor. You're able to select your gender, which I thought was really cool how they did that in the beginning of the game. Should we talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah, I just, like, Assassin's Creed has been doing this since Odyssey, where they're giving you the choice to choose either a male or a female version of your character. In Odyssey, they had it be siblings, and in Valhalla, they kind of play it off as like a glitch in the Animus where you're not really sure what gender they were, so you could kind of override it to make it what you want. And they also give you this weird option where you let the Animus decide based on your dialogue choices, which I haven't done. And I was reading up on it, and apparently that's the way that the game wants you to play it. But I just, I don't see that being interesting. Like, I don't want my character to just automatically swap to a different appearance, you know? But, But I thought it was really neat because the game introduces Ivor as when they were a child, but they're just a child with a shaved head. And you, looking at it, you don't know if it's a male or a female. And, you know, as after you get through the prologue, basically the game lets you choose and then you reunite with that gender when they're an adult. I thought that was a pretty cool thing to, like, introduce the character. But yeah, you are a Viking and you're this awesome, awesome Viking. And what I said previously a couple minutes ago was, like, you could do a lot of cool things in this game. And I feel like it's because you're a Viking. Like, I haven't came across anything in the game that, like, you know, when in RPGs, when you go to, like, loot stuff and there's a little, the loot says red because you'll steal it. And it, the game's just letting you know that you're doing something bad. Like, I haven't ran into that yet, and I feel like that's just because I'm a Viking, and Vikings take what they want. Like, I've walked into friends' camps, houses, anything like that, and you just take what you want, and I feel like that was, like, a decision, you know? Have you noticed that?
Not really, but I also don't usually pay attention when I'm stealing things. I just go, oh, items.
Really? Because if something is red in a game, I just don't touch it. And
oh, yeah, I touch it.
Yeah. So,
like, I especially touch it.
I kind of like that in this game. They kind of give you, like, the go ahead to be like, yeah, do what you want. You're good. You take what you want. And I really like that. Yeah. So I guess the premise of the game is, you know, you're this Viking and you're in a clan and you want a better life for your people. So basically, the game really sets up when you and your friend, your childhood friend, who's now, like, a leader of a clan, decide to sail off to England to try to start a new life for yourself. Stuff happens in between. I don't want to give too many things away, but the game really opens up when you leave Norway to go to England. That's where the entire game takes place.
Yeah, there's, like, a really quick, important thing that's happening in your home area. But it's settled relatively quickly, and then, yeah, you're off to England.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked, I guess I would say, at that, because in the beginning of the game, they set up this guy who is, like, a huge, he appears to be a huge villain, and it might just be because of the things that he did when you were a child, or like the emphasis that they put on him. And you think, like, okay, this is going to be the main bad guy, the main Templar of the game. And he's just, they settle things quickly, you know?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. which is really cool because it, you know, it leaves you wondering who else is really there, who's the big guy behind everything, you know? And, you know, this Assassin's Creed takes place, I'm not sure exactly where it would take place in between, like, Origins or Odyssey, because I know Odyssey was before Origins, correct?
Yes. It was Origins, where they were like, this is the farthest dated back Assassin's Creed game yet. And then the very next year, they were like, now this is the farthest dated game in Assassin's Creed yet.
Yeah. So, you know, you're not an assassin. You're not, like, part of this thing, but there's hints, there's things all over the place. And you actually meet people who are very clearly in the Assassin's Guild, but there's no real name for it. They're just known as the Hidden Ones. And there's
no, I think they have a name. I think they're just going by the Hidden Ones.
Yeah, because,
like, the one dude straight up says, we have a name, but don't worry about it.
Yeah. And when you, like, a big part of this game is settlement building, which I love. I think I mentioned this in a previous episode, like, anything where you could build and make things stronger is awesome. Your main settlement in the game, you're able to build buildings, and I built one for the assassins, which they're just known as the Hidden Ones in this so far. But on the outside of the building, there's just a wooden sign with the symbol on it. So they definitely have a name. I think it's pretty funny that they felt the need to put a little sign outside with the A's. It's just
They'll never know who we are.
Yeah.
We're sure are hidden from the Templars.
Something, you know, I'm trying to figure out, like, if there's a structure of what we should talk about first. But, I mean, we've just been playing this so much, and there's so much that we've taken in. I'm kind of just regurgitating what's coming to my mind. A lot of cool things. I mean, I've definitely hit some roadblocks I think we could talk about later. And those are mainly in the forms of bugs, but I think we could get all the really cool stuff out of the way first. Yeah, like what else? There's a lot of different world events, which is something we talked about last week with Red Dead, I believe. And similar to like Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead, things like that. Like if you're just stumbling through the world, you might come across something that's like not part of the story. It's just a character doing something weird or, you know, interesting. Those are scattered all throughout the place. It's really, really cool to stumble upon them. Like today I was playing and I just walked up to a church and there was this nun praying and around her was a bunch of dead Vikings. And I went up to talk to her and Ivor was like, "Did you kill these people?" And she was like, "Yep. And God told me about you." And then she just starts slashing me with a knife. And this crazy,
like, chill, dang, Mother Teresa.
Yeah, and she felt that God was speaking to her, because a huge thing is in this game, you're going to England and there's a bunch of Anglo-Saxons and like Christianity is huge. So it's kind of like Norse mythology versus Christianity. So this
pagan heathens and the holy Catholics.
Yeah. So yeah, this nun thought that God was speaking to her and just like wanted to kill me. And it was really weird. And she was pretty tough. She was super spry.
Oh, yeah. She's really, really difficult to beat considering the area that she's in.
Like, my bow wasn't leveled up or anything, so it took forever to, like, pull back. And as soon as you pull back on a bow, she starts, like, sidestepping like she's on Ninja Warrior or something. I'm like, Jesus, nun? Chill out. There was another one where this farmer, he was having all of his crops eaten by rats. And you know, he was trying to figure out how to get rid of them. And if you walk down the road, there's this crazy cat lady and she's like mumbling to herself. So you convince her to like let her cats kill all the rats, because she's this like, you basically tell her like she's this goddess who controls these mighty cats. And she's like,
oh my God, wait a second. I have not beaten this or have fully experienced this side quest yet. Do you literally compare this crazy cat woman to Freya?
Oh, yeah. I watched you start this. I thought you just finished it. I'm sorry.
No, I literally spoke to the guy and then left, because I went up to her house at first and she was like, "Keep away from my precious baby kitties."
Yeah, that happened to me too. And then I talked to the guy and then I turned around. And I saw like there was a speech bubble over her head. So you had to talk to the guy first. But yeah. 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 She was like, "Oh, I must be." She like, you talk to her and she's like, "Oh, I am as beautiful as Freya. I am as powerful as Freya." And she's like mumbling to herself. Yeah.
I'm just picturing Ivor just giving the hardest side eye of, yeah, definitely.
He goes with, I chose the male Ivor and you chose the female one. I'm not really sure what led me to choose the male one, but I basically decided to stick with it to just see the differences that we have in the game. I can't see the differences being huge aside from just cosmetics and stuff, but I really like the tone that the male Ivor has. He like goes along with everything. He seems like super playful. Yeah, he was definitely playing along with the crazy old cat lady. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely like the sense of humor they gave this game. I felt like in Origins, everything was far too serious. In Odyssey, it was a little better, but still mostly just serious. In Valhalla, everybody's just having a good time from what I'm seeing. Like, outside of the obvious, you know, war, death, and all that stuff. But the humor that they put in this game is just great.
Yeah. And it really, I love like the kind of light that it shines on Vikings. Like they really did, they got crap done, but they had a good time. Like, I remember the one of the first nights we were playing it, I walked in, I was talking to you about it, and I was like, this one Viking king that you're talking to, he basically gives you an ultimatum, and this is still in the prologue of the game, but he's like, you know, if you want to stay on this land, you're going to serve under me. And there's a conflict there of whether what you're going to do or not. And he basically comes up to Ivor and he's like, you're going to have to figure that out in down the line. But right now we're going to party. And I was like, man, Vikings just like they just vibe, you know.
I feel like that was part of their culture just because it was so heavy on fighting and death and surviving that it was just like, you got to balance it somehow.
Yeah. And they really have a good time. I mean, that's options for your settlement is like adding a brewery and everything that'll just improve people's happiness and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It hit me today. It was a little sad. I was like, well, man, Vikings don't exist anymore. So it's like, didn't they die out? Right. Or was that just Spartans?
Well, I think it's kind of like how everybody in any civilization, they just kind of change over time.
Yeah.
Because, like, this Ivor is from Norway, right? I mean, they're still Norwegians.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Kind of just like how you're Irish.
I am.
I can't remember what they used to be called, but I think you used to be deemed just basic barbarians, but now you're the Irishman. Yeah, Celtics or Celtics, however some people want to say it. I always said Celtics, but apparently Celtics is actually another way of saying it, but it sounds weird.
Celtic Guardian, Yu-Gi-Oh. I had that card. Anyways.
Celtic Guardian.
Celtic. He looked
Celery
like.
Celery Guardian.
He looked like Link. Anyways.
Yeah. Hey, yeah.
What else can we talk about this game? Any features that are popping out that you really enjoy?
So in your settlement, you are able to like upgrade it and everything. When you first get it, you can't really use anything except the blacksmith because that's the first thing that you are assigned to complete in order to continue the story.
Yeah.
After that, it's kind of just like, all right, you need to go get some more stuff. And then you just pick who, you know, gets the next upgrade so you can use them. So I actually did a bit of exploring before I upgraded the Assassin's Creed hideout. So one thing that I thought was interesting was when you're first going around the world, when you do a leap of faith, it actually isn't a leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Ivor kind of just plummets and then they kind of just lean backwards like, oh, I gotta do something.
Yeah, I noticed that at first. I was like, it looks a little off, and then the game explains it later on.
Yeah, and then once you upgrade it, once again, this is something you're supposed to do very, very early on.
Yeah.
But once you upgrade it, you're taught how to do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even think we're at the point of the game where we could really spoil anything. Like, we have a lot of time.
I kind
of
am now.
Oh, you are? Okay.
It's like, yeah, but mine's like I am still nowhere near beating the game. It's just, I think I've gotten past the first portion of the game where now new options are up for me to pick. But I think it's really interesting how Ivor is kind of just like, you get a hidden blade, but Ivor is a Viking. They don't do hiding very well.
Yeah.
So when they get their hidden blade, they mount it on their wrist with the blade on top. And the one assassin is kind of just like, no, it's supposed to be hidden. And Ivor just looks at them and goes, what? And screw up like you two did, referring to the back then tradition of assassins removing their ring finger for the blade to pop out.
Yeah.
Ivor's just like, no, you're going to see when I stab you. And I thought that was excellent because in the grand scheme of things, yeah, why didn't you just put it on top?
Yeah.
What was his name? I can't remember the guy's name from Origins.
Oh, Origins, Bayek?
Bayek, yeah. Mm-hmm. Bayek, you should have just put it on top. You would have saved your ring finger.
Yeah. That's still pretty funny how that was just a mistake.
Yep. He just goofed. He was like, ah, God damn it.
Speaking of Bayek and Assassin's Creed Origins. So there was something that I got to last night that really shocked me, again, because I don't know where the timelines add up. But did you get to the point where you could get the like traveling merchant on your settlement?
Yes. The one that says I go from pretty much the swamps to the dunes of Egypt.
Yeah. And it's the little kid. It's Retta from Origins.
Oh my God. Wait. Yeah. Oh geez.
Yeah. So that's what I was confused about. Cause I was like, because they're like, he's not a child. He's our leader. So I was like, okay, what's going on with this guy? Like,
is this a god? Or,
yeah. Yeah. So it's like, I thought that was super, super interesting. There's also a guy on your settlement who's like from Rome. Like he's dressed up like Caesar. His name is Octavius and he wants you to build him a museum. And I feel like he's in a different game.
I didn't see Octavius.
I might be confusing that though with the Netflix show Norsemen, because that's a show about Vikings and it's hilarious. And there's this one guy who was an actor from Greece or Rome, and he like tries to bring culture to these Vikings and stuff. But I might be confusing that, but he seems very familiar. But my point is, yeah, it was really shocking to see a character from a different Assassin's Creed in the world of this different like time period. I thought it was cool. And Retta's, he does the same thing that he did in Origins, where he gives you contracts, and if you complete them, you're able to get like special things. So one of the first things that he showed you was like a celestial horse mount. It's just like silly, over the top stuff. Yeah.
One feature that I definitely like in this game is raiding.
Oh my God. Yeah. It popped in my head. I wanted to get to the raiding aspect.
I love raiding.
It's really cool. So when you're on boat, like when you're on the ocean and the river and stuff, not really ocean, it's all like lakes and rivers. You see markers of towns that you could raid, and you could choose to just go off your boat and go on running. But if you're on foot and you end up at a settlement, you could just blow your horn and your buddies will just come and just start raiding. It's super cool because raiding is essential to like getting supplies, just like Vikings did. Like you have to go raid to get stuff. And just like the trailers and the gameplay demos, everything, you could burn stuff down. I mean, it doesn't like burn to the ground, but it causes mayhem and stuff. But
it changes the color of the sky, which is pretty neat when you go and like near the center of the town after, you know, you and your Viking pals have set houses aflame, just seeing the sky turn red. I'm like, all right, I'm getting into it now.
It was during the first raid. I noticed before I went into my first raid that I could pull out a torch at any time. So I was like, oh man, I'm gonna set stuff on fire. And I thought I could like walk up to stuff and light it. And I was like, I couldn't figure it out. And then I was trying to throw it on top of a building, but I couldn't get the trajectory right. So I was just like hitting the side of a wall. I just looked like a dummy Viking, like throwing torches at a wall. But yeah,
Ivar hit his head.
Yeah.
So, off the raid.
But if you get the angle right, you absolutely could just throw a torch on top of a building and it'll light it on fire. And yeah, like raiding is very, I mean, obviously it's good to have help from your friends to take on the enemies, even though doesn't seem to do too much. I mean, I just kind of blow through everybody, but you need your friends for a lot of things, like opening up huge chests and bursting through doors that are blocked. Like you could just call a friend and they'll help you out. So it's like an integral part of the game, and I think it's done really, really well. It's super just fun and satisfying. I really like it.
Yeah. Literally the only thing that I can really complain about is this is by far the buggiest and glitchiest Assassin's Creed that I've played. Like, I love the story. The combat is okay. There are some times where I feel like I get killed and it was like a really, really cheap shot.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some glitches that, oh boy.
Yeah.
There's no other way to put it. It's just, they can be bad.
Like, you're not kidding. Like, you play this game for any amount of time, you're going to run into something that just doesn't seem right. I mean, I think during one of the first cutscenes, like, and it's so funny when it happens during cutscenes because they try to be serious and dramatic and stuff. And then all of a sudden the model would just like shoot into T pose really quick and then come back. And it's like, you know, blood will come out of things that just doesn't make sense.
Well, on one of the first ones that I had, there is a character that is running away from the fight on horseback. And typically, a horse's legs need to move when it's running. This guy, I'm just watching this horse get smaller and smaller, and it's just a shape that's getting smaller in the distance. And it immediately broke the immersion for me. I was just like, oh my God. Oh boy. Oh dear.
the first one that I ran into was the first big one, I guess I would say, was I was just killing. I was just, you know, taking out some Saxons, and one guy was just standing still, and he was kind of tilted back. He was kind of at like a 15 degree angle, and he was floating a little bit, but he was dead. And I was given the option to carry him. So I was like, okay. So I just carried him, and he instead of being slouched over my shoulder, he like was pointed out of my forehead like a unicorn, but he was a full size man. So I was just running around with this full size man just standing on my head.
He was and, planking.
Yeah, I recorded it. I'm going to post it to our TikTok. So, you know, TikTok, Till Death Do We Play. Go check that out. But yeah, it's super, super glitchy. And I mean, that's stuff that's going to happen in patches. I know that they probably didn't want to delay. And honestly, at this point with Assassin's Creed games, I think it's just kind of expected. It doesn't bother me. Like, it's like even with the next Elder Scrolls, any kind of Bethesda game that I play, I'm expecting bugs and stuff, you know. It is what it is. But yeah, that was probably the worst thing that's happened so far.
Apparently, we're kind of looking out in that regard, because for the Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5, apparently there are a lot of issues with saved files getting corrupted. So,
oh man,
woohoo!
Yeah, it definitely seems like I'm going to finish up Valhalla on a Series X, and then I was hoping to get, or not a Series X, an Xbox One X, and I was hoping to get a Series X on Black Friday. So, if I did, I'd probably be playing Cyberpunk on one. So I hope that doesn't. Well, I don't know. But
I still love it.
yeah, absolutely.
It's probably, like, right now it's working to being my favorite Assassin's Creed game.
Oh wow.
The only thing is, like, it is true that ever since Origins, these don't really feel like Assassin's Creed games. No, they feel like games that are based in the Assassin's Creed universe. But we haven't really played as an assassin. Even Bayek, I don't think, is technically an assassin, because he didn't even start it. His wife did.
I think Syndicate was the last one where you were just straight up assassins. And I was going to say Syndicate was like, I know people felt like that formula got stale, but I just still remember playing Syndicate and the combat was so fluid. Everything seemed to work so great. I wasn't a crazy fan of like Victorian London or whatever the setting was, but all the technical things, like, it just really seemed like they were like, okay, they got about as perfect as things could get with this system. And then they decided to do a complete rehaul. I mean, it was to keep things fresh, and I guess it's working out for them. But yeah, now I guess Ubisoft is just working on making this new system the best it could be. But yeah,
I prefer the new system personally.
It feels, it's an RPG. Like the previous Assassin's Creeds were just action adventure games. These are full fledged RPGs, you know?
Yeah. That's probably why I like them more. We discovered from our last episode that I'm definitely an RPG junkie.
Yeah. and I don't know if it was like, I definitely enjoy the Viking era way more than the Greek mythology era. I thought I was going to enjoy Odyssey a lot more. It just didn't hold my attention. But now I'm like, I just want to play Valhalla more, you know?
I think the tone helps. I mean, having humor in a game, when done correctly, it's always going to help.
Yeah, Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I might try to go back to Odyssey afterwards, just because I know I'll be playing so much of Valhalla that I'll be used to the system, like the combat and everything. So it might be easier for me to go back into, but I don't know. I'm just going to enjoy my time that I have with Valhalla.
I think this one is also really nice because one of the things with Odyssey was the character knew more than you did when it came to things that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like their lineage and everything. It was kind of like, well, what's going on? What does this mean? I'm a little lost. With Valhalla, it's very much, this is what happened, and now you're a Viking. And you honestly couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I mean, I remember in the beginning of Odyssey, you were just like, I picked Cassandra. You were in her fully adult life and she was fully aware of everything going on. And you're kind of on this journey with Ivor for a new life and you're taking it with him, you know. I hope
you're there for your brother.
Yeah, yeah. Sigurd.
An adoptive brother, but you know.
Yeah. Oh,
you're
man.
The adopted.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that stuff that gets explained early on in the game. It's kind of sad what happens, but it's kind of...
I think that helped, actually. Less baggage.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. And, like not only that... As bad as that is. Not only that, and I mean, I guess we could just say minor spoilers for the first hour of the game, but, like, you know,
your parents are dead.
Yeah, you lose your parents, and then you avenge them before the game even starts. So Ivor is just like, "Come on, bring on this new life. I'm ready. Let's party." You know.
Yeah, that's it. You find out very, very early on that Ivor's entire purpose up to this point was just killing this dude, and then you kill the dude.
It's crazy. They skipped all of that, all of the training and working your way up, and now you find out that like. He's just a small part, you know, when you're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you're done. You completed everything that you need to. You have nothing holding you here. You are a free agent.
That's really, really cool. Yeah. I don't know. What else can we talk about?
I don't think we need to talk too much about anymore. I don't want us to overstay our welcome.
Yeah. Well, at the rate that we're playing this, I feel like we will be able to get a spoiler cast in relatively early. Might be a couple weeks, but hopefully, you know, maybe we'll be done with the base game in a week or so. Who knows? I'm really enjoying my time with Assassin's Creed. Happy to be back into a game in that franchise that I'm enjoying. Yeah. So what else is going on? What else can we talk about? Should I talk about my journey to try to get a Series X?
No, I think that's just going to be a rinse and repeat of everybody's story.
Yeah, they were sold out. End of story. Yeah.
If you see anyone selling them on Facebook Market for more than the retail price, report them as spam.
Oh, yeah. That's what we've been
doing. We don't need trash like that in the gaming community.
Yeah. People, you know, they want to get them to enjoy them and... People want to get them for their kids. I know a lot of people personally who are trying to get them as Christmas presents and they're sold out and people are online selling them for $1,500. It's disgusting.
We actually discovered a Target area manager.
Well, he was,
you know, that whole thing
previously
with Target.
He was previously Target, but now he's a Amazon.
Oh, Amazon. Manager. That's what I mean. Yeah. I apologize. The Amazon area manager.
Yeah.
You know how Amazon is apparently having a really bad time getting people their pre-orders? Mm-hmm. Well, this chucklehead who works there was able to get 25 of them, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And he thought it was smart to post online or on Facebook. Yeah, so
keep that in mind. I kind of wish you got a screenshot of that because, oh boy, you can bet your sweet bippy I'd be blasting him.
Yeah. I mean, everyone, because he had tons of comments. It was basically divided people who were willing to pay it so their kids would love them. And the other half were calling him out. And I guess it got reported enough times that Facebook took it down.
Here's the thing, friends, listeners, people who probably might dislike me. Don't give scalpers any of your money.
Yeah.
They like, here's the beautiful thing about this generation right now. If it's an Xbox, any game that comes out, you can play it on an Xbox One X. You'll be fine. we have one friend that has it and he still hasn't really used it for some reason. For the PlayStation, I think right now the only games that can be played on them that can't be on the PS4 is Demon's Souls, which I know a lot of you really want to play. I know you want to. But remember, it is a remake. You can play this game from the PS3 so that you can remember how it's done and then go into the PS5 and kick ass.
Yeah.
Just like you did back then. But do not pay more than you have to. Love yourself. You're worth it.
Yeah, when you think just about wait. It that way, you if you're buying a PS5 and Demon's Souls, you're paying $570 to play Demon's Souls.
You know, yeah, but once again, like, you know what? Hey, if you want to do that, that's fine. Don't pay more than that, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, they're going to be in stock. There's rumors going around that during Black Friday, there will be 70 to a store, 70 consoles. I know that's for Series X. I'm not sure about PS5. And honestly, I'm not sure how, like, what the validity to that is. But that's what I've heard.
I think a good takeaway from it, though, is you will get the console.
Oh, yeah.
You might not get it right now, but you will definitely be able to get it. Just please, please, please don't give it to that scummy little dude that you see on Facebook or eBay who's selling them for $1,000. Mm-hmm. You can have your own. It's brand new. That's not worth it.
I wasn't able to get one online, and I went to NVIDIA's website, and I almost bought a 3070 graphics card out of spite because I was like, I'm buying something today that'll make things better for me.
You got me pizza.
Yeah, we ended up buying pizza that night. But yeah, the graphics card are sold out everywhere too. And it's just like, man, whatever. But yeah, it's weird because like, I know we keep saying next gen is here, next gen is here. You know, it's weird to say, but we've hit the point in gaming right now where next gen is just a slight bump in performance. You know, it's kind of hard to really envision true next gen. I mean, yeah, load times are great. You're going to have ray tracing.
Well,
it's what?
I would say right now, because it also sounds like, for those of you who might not have it yet, apparently a lot of them are having issues with loading, actually, accepting disks or just bricking.
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, like, sometimes it's not good to be the first one in line.
Yeah. So, I mean, take that as a good sign. If you guys didn't end up with a console, you're not doing the testing, you know? You're not doing the beta testing for these consoles, basically. Wait till, you know, patches come out and, you know, things get fixed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And your kids will still love you if they don't get one for Christmas. Trust me.
Or maybe you are just a terrible parent. I mean, but if that is the case, I don't think a console is going to help your relationship.
Yeah. It's okay. When I was a kid, I remember one Christmas I got, like, the Megazord from Power Rangers. And the next Christmas, I asked for, like, the new Megazord. But my parents didn't follow Power Rangers. I'm sure, like, a lot of parents don't follow gaming consoles. And I got the same Megazord that I got for the previous year. And I was just yeah, I wasn't bent up over it. I was like, yeah, all right. I'm pretty sure at that point, my previous Megazord was completely destroyed. So if anything, I was just happy I had something to play with.
I used to be into Beyblades when I was younger. Sick,
let them rip.
And I had said I wanted Beyblades as a Christmas gift, and I got knockoff ones, and they didn't work. But it was the thought that counts. I mean, how can, even as a kid, like, how could you be mad? Because even then I knew my parents and my family don't watch this. I'd, like, tell them what it is, and they get, like, a brief idea. I think this was even before the internet was super, you know, popular.
I just picture you getting like wooden Danish antique tops that like
I got a dreidel.
Yeah, dreidels. Let them rip.
Look at, we got a Beyblade. This is a dreidel with razor blades.
Dreidel with razor blades. Jesus. Passover, Hanukkah is going to be lit. It's some going to be a bloodbath.
Oh God. No, it was all good. I think that year I also got a Zoid's really advanced Liger thing. I think you actually saw it in my basement when we were moving.
Wait,
and it
had
that whole golden claw thing. Yeah.
No, where is it? Why isn't it in our house now?
It's probably with the children.
They don't know about Zoids. I always wanted
a
Zoids toy.
They also had my Pokemon card collection for a
while.
This
is how removed I was from my family. Not removed, but like... So, my family is super manual labor. I don't know how to say it. Like, we worked. We work. And I did too as a kid. I mean, before I... my job as a video editor. I mean, I was...
Compared to my family where we just sit there.
Well, no, I was going to say, like... Existing. I mean, I was out and helping my brothers and my dad and working and stuff. And it was great. It was great, you know. But I was also, like, a nerd. And we would have... On our property, we had, like, a bobcat, which is, like, not an animal. It's a piece of machinery. It's, like, a thing you sit in with a bucket and you're able to, like, move dirt and stuff.
Yeah, most families don't have that.
Yeah, well, we had one, and I would go and sit in it and pretend I was operating a Zoid.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah. Oh, so another fun thing with my Zoid's story. So I didn't know that people voluntarily chose to hate themselves and build complex minis. So I was really into Zoids, and I saw one that was for the blue fox or coyote or whatever it was that the one dude
it's
had
like the main
before it was
Zoid,
destroyed.
Right?
No, that's Liger, but he was a main dude, but his got destroyed, and then his Zoid turned into like the shadow fox or something like that. But I found a box that had the wolf or coyote or whatever the hell it was in it. So I brought it home and I took it out, and it's one of those figurines that you don't play with. You have to build it, and it takes days. And I'm looking at it and I don't know what to do. So my dad built it for me. And when it was built, I found to my horror that it would not move. Oh. And he also told me, don't you dare take this apart. Because it was a bitch to get together. And he was not wrong. I watched him, and there were a few times where I tried to help him, and he just told me to go away and not bother him right now because it was really hard. And this is what people do as a hobby.
Yeah. I can just picture your dad. He's a very old school man. Like, I'm sure he probably even enjoys like model cars and stuff, but I could just imagine him putting that together and be like, what even is this? Some freaking robot lion.
Like, he was very good at building things. When I was in third grade, we had to do a little Native American project, and he built an entire Native American village for me to bring in.
Wow.
With like long houses and everything, and he had a little river that went through, and he made like little kayaks, and he bought some of those tiny little almost like army soldiers, but for Native Americans. And he put them throughout random locations. Made it out of popsicle sticks, some fake leather. Yeah, he's very creative.
Yeah. There's a new Zoid game. There's a Zoid game out, and I'm wondering why we haven't gotten it.
I guess because you didn't know that I really liked Zoids.
Yeah, and I just remembered my love of Zoids.
They were great.
Yeah. It was Cartoon
Network.
I still
like them.
I would come home and watch them on Toonami.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah. So besides Assassin's Creed Valhalla, is there anything else you've been playing this week?
Phasmophobia, that I realized last week I mistakenly said was phantasmophobia. It's phasmophobia. I'm finally brave enough to go into the house. I'm proud of myself.
Oh, good. Yeah.
He is. What about you?
Pokemon. I've been playing a lot of Pokemon.
I believe it.
Yeah, we never really got to talk about the new DLC for it. It's super enjoyable. It's like just all legendary Pokemon. The whole story about the DLC is just catching legendary Pokemon. And then there's like a specific set that you catch during over the story. There's quite a few. And then after you're done, you have this option to go on like raids that they brought into the game, which is you fight four Dynamax.
Yes, raids.
Yeah, and you fight four Dynamax Pokemon one after another. You could switch out your Pokemon. You only get one to choose from. And then it ends with a legendary Pokemon. Every single legendary Pokemon is in that game. With some being like, some are like exclusive to Sword and Shield. Like I got Ho-Oh the other night and Lugia is in Shield. Crazy replayability. Cause it's just, I just want to get all the legendaries. I have, I think like 35 so far. Cause you have the legendaries and then you have the Ultra Beasts from Sun and Moon. So it's a ton of stuff. Super enjoyable. I think it added so far like another like 15 hours to my Pokemon time on my Switch. So it's definitely a good DLC. Keep you busy. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So I think that'll wrap it up. Short little episode. Fun new games. We're in it. We're in the thick of it now. Now we're going to be getting AAAs left and right. What's on the horizon? I think it's just
Cyberpunk,
and I mean Call of Duty came out on Friday, but we haven't gotten to that yet.
I do want to play the zombies though.
Yeah, we'll probably pick that up when we get closer to finishing Valhalla, just for the fun multiplayer stuff. Yeah,
gonna pick non-binary to just piss people off.
Yeah, apparently that's a thing that people are mad about, which is like so weird in a first person shooter. Why do you care? You know,
I just want to shoot people. I don't need your politics. Cool. Then pick male.
Yeah. Don't let it bother you. Oh my God. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for listening. If you could just tell a friend about us, let them know.
Or an enemy. Exist.
Just whatever. Maybe if you're telling an enemy, just say like you hate us. So maybe they'll like us, like some reverse psychology. Just try to get the word out. That's probably the best thing you could do is just tell people you know about us. Also, if you want, go leave us a review on iTunes. And
if it's positive.
Yeah. Yeah. If something negative, just write it in a journal and then rip it up and don't tell anyone about us. God, check us out on social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, Twitch. We got a Twitch streaming a little bit, not too much yet. We're on everything. Type in, we have our own website. Dang it. TillDeathWePlay.com. Go check it out. Allie, yeah. Where else could people listen to us?
I won't lie. Most of you listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcast. So if you listen there, awesome. If you don't, I'm sure you have access to one of those three platforms.
And you also have access to Breaker, Stitcher, Radio Public, and
those are the ones that most people don't listen to.
Pocket Cast. Hey, we get a couple from Pocket Cast, I think. So, yeah.
If you listen to us from Pocket Cast, please let me know.
Yeah. If you guys
listen to us. I am very interested to know if you are real people.
Yeah. If you guys got this far and you're listening to us talk, just like let us know you got this far. And
let us know who you prefer listening to, me or Andy.
That's no, because then I'll lose.
I don't think that's true. I can see a lot of people not liking when I speak.
I like when you speak.
Of course you do. You're my husband.
Yeah.
Actually, wait. I think if TV has taught me anything, that's the reverse.
Husbands don't like women speaking? Their wife speaking?
Yeah, because the wife is always nagging.
No, you're fine. It's whatever, man. I just want to edit this thing and play a little more Valhalla. So I think we're going to ask you for some last words.
I just want to raid shit, man.
That's what we're going to do. Yes. Oh, man. Could you imagine if they added co-op raids? That would be awesome.
That. Andy, I've got raiding to do.
Okay. All right.
I got to get going.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.